Hello, podcast listeners, and welcome to the Core Health Collective show. My name is Ben Bowen, and on this podcast, we will be exploring what it means to be an entrepreneur in the health and wellness industry. Hey, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of the Core Health Collective show. And on this show, as all of our listeners know, we love to pick the brain of entrepreneurs in the health and wellness space. Also, we like to talk to people that use health and wellness as a way to maximize their performance in business and in life. And our guest today, Brady McDonald, who I've been following on Instagram for a while. He's always near the top of my feed, so I guess I'm a fanboy today. Definitely empowers both of those. So I'm going to let Brady introduce himself, but just at the get-go, he's a Canadian living in the United States who's made his wealth through real estate. However, he, in the last 18 months, has launched a health and wellness brand, at least the way I view it, called Zero to 100, that talks really about, leveling up everything that you do. The way you do one thing is the way you do everything. I saw him post the other day. And there was a moment where I just had to reach out to him. And that was when I saw this cool guy in Florida working out, dominating life, happy husband, great family guy. And all of a sudden he's breaking ice in a boat in Georgian Bay, not that far from our family cottage. And I thought, this guy is so crazy, I've got to talk to him. So welcome to the show, Brady.
Yeah, thanks, Ben. Thanks a lot for having me. I'm excited to reach out. And I honestly, I just love, what it is that makes the connection, right? And, you're not going to get anything in life unless you ask. Right. And like within a week, from sending that text, we're here. And I'm super thankful for that and the opportunity to chat with you, dude.
Yeah, that's funny. Well, I appreciate that you're here. And as you said, you never know. So like I was already watching your content because I really believe in fitness being kind of the foundation to have the energy and ideas to really maximize your business and your personal life. And you do such a good job of it, at least since I started following you, probably in the last, 4 to 6 months. And I was like, okay, I love this guy. He's like doing what I want to do. He's doing more of what I want to do. So you were like pulling me along the way, which is awesome. And I actually just signed up for the Zero to 100 challenge, FYI, who you're going to get a chance to tell our listeners about it. But yeah, when I saw that cottage moment back in Canada, not in Florida, down the highway from our cottage, doing something I always wanted to do, which was break a little ice with our boat going out to an island. I was like, okay, I can't wait any longer. I got to reach out.
Yeah. Well, you know what? The best part about breaking ice in that situation was it wasn't my boat. it was a buddy's boat. But yeah, we've done that a couple of times. I was actually, when I was doing that, shooting the video, I was with a buddy named Ben.
And oh, Ben, no way.
Yeah, his buddy's name's Ben. And he, it was at this marina that I met Ben when I used to work for Hydro One as a utility arborist. And then I ended up becoming a utility arborist instructor, and I had a tree service, and we would run the tree service in Honey Harbor on that boat in that, under that marina. So it was just like having those initial conversations with Ben, and it was kind of a great moment just to, it's been about 15 years since I did that, but yeah, we're excited to be back in Ontario. We moved down to Florida 2 years ago, essentially. There's a whole backstory, but we built this big dream house, after doing well in real estate and stuff, but in Ontario, and we can get into the backstory if you want, but we decided that we were going to go down to the US and literally packed all of our stuff up and left the dream house vacant for a year before we ended up selling it. And we lived like hobos down here as entrepreneurs starting this business down here. And kind of risking everything. But long story short is like, we're back there. We're building on an island in Honey Harbor, and we're excited to be there and spend the rest of the summer up in Ontario.
Okay, interesting. So, okay, if I don't ask, I think our listeners will just shut this podcast off right now. You built your dream house. So I'm guessing it's really nice. Yeah. You've done well for yourself. So yeah, it's probably really nice. And then you leave it to live like a hobo in Florida. Yeah. Walk us through that decision.
Yeah. So, okay. So when COVID Oh, I'll back it up to before. So I was a utility arborist by trade, right? And I was working for Hydrowine. I started as an apprentice cutting trees down. And I started there when I was 19, and I'll back it up a little bit further. I went to college for, actually started there when I was 18. I went to college for 1 year. Between first year and second year, I knew a guy that worked for Hydro. He made 120 grand a year, and he had this, brand new truck and a full case of beer. I'm like, I realized if he could do it, or I just thought to myself, this is the belief, and this is part of the 0 to 100 mindset, is like, if he could do it, I could do it. And before that, my idea of success was, my goal was to make $50,000 a year because that's what my parents made, right? Like, we didn't have much, like, we had little. I paid for my own hockey. That's how little money we had. So I got the Hydro One job because, again, his mindset, I believed that I could do it. I knew it was possible. I believed I could do it. I took massive action. I got the job within a year. Went through the apprenticeship, ended up becoming a utility arborist instructor. Got about 12 years into my career there, and I thought, okay, we need to do something to create freedom, right? I needed to, because we were finding that we were capped on, but financially capped by the corporation. We were time, there was only so much time freedom. And then their personal development was capped as well. You are, in a company. And so we were looking for what was next at that moment. And we ended up running into a guy who was a full-time real estate investor. And, we met with him, talked with him. I realized the same thing, that it was possible, right? And I believed that I could do it because I'm like, hey, if he can do it, I can do it. And then we just took massive action. We read a book, and then it took about 6 months but to figure out the strategy, and we bought a house. Did the conversion in a single from a single family home to a duplex and refinanced it. And that was the start of our companies in Canada, which is BK Real Estate Investing. We had a property management company, construction company, and ended up doing hundreds of real estate transactions, real estate deals that we owned. And we
How
still
many
own.
years? How many years ago did that start? When? So, what year did you buy that
Yeah.
first house?
2015, April 2015.
So not that long ago.
No, so it wasn't that long ago. Yeah. So in 2015, we started that. And so the first year we did, like, I think, eight properties working full time. I did all the renovations myself from the first couple, proved the system, figured out like how to do it at scale, implemented some processes and stuff. And then we started hiring contractors, hiring employees. And so year two, we did close to 20. And I was still working full time. So that was in 2017. And I actually read an art I wrote an article in the Canadian Real Estate Wealth Magazine. It was how to make $90,000 a year and quit your day job. So
Okay.
I wrote the article, and then I thought, you know what, I better quit this day job before, this article gets published. So
Yeah.
yeah, I ended up quitting Hydro in 2017, and never looked back. It's the best thing that ever happened. We continued to scale and do a lot more real estate. And then during 2018, my wife and I came down to Florida and bought a big boat, 53 foot in Florida. We cruised around the Bahamas and the Florida Keys. We ended up taking it back to Canada in 19, going just like, we need to get back to work. And then, we still like that. We ended up doing a lot of land development and whatnot. In 2020, we started to think about building this house. 21, we started to build the house, and we were living in an apartment in one of our apartments while we were building this house. We had a daughter. We were pregnant. This is in 2021, and this is kind of like how we actually got to Florida to be living like hobos, was we went to Costa Rica during what, because we were living in this apartment essentially, and it was right around Christmas time in 2020, right 2020 I think it was, and the government shut everything down because of COVID, and I'm just like a caged animal. I'm like, you cannot. And because talking about fitness, sorry, I'm jumping all over the place. I need to get
No,
straight.
this is good. I'll jump in and redirect you if you need it.
Okay, so we're talking about fitness. Like, we're living in this apartment, and this is the very first time that I ever got dialed into my body. Okay, so it was essentially 2021, I finished the 75-day hard,
Okay.
right? And so that was the first time for me that I ever did quit drinking since I was 14 years old. And like for, you know, for a lot of us, like socializing is like a sport and it's a hobby and it's like what we do, especially in smaller towns. And socializing and drinking are the same. And, you know, and so when I went to do that 75 hard, my wife was like, there's no way in heck you can not drink for 75 days. It's possible. And that's what made that challenge worth trying because I didn't think I could either. It took a little bit of time, a little bit of courage for me to actually figure it to do it. It took 2 weeks for me to talk myself into it. I did it, and everything in my life changed, right? I became a better father, became a better husband, better communicator, much better patience. The deals got significantly bigger. So instead of doing duplexes and triplexes, we ended up doing like $13, $15 million in development. Have been from that clarity. And you know, that clarity and that confidence over that time, what gave me such a position was put me in such a headspace that when they locked us down and we were in like kind of felt contained into this apartment while we were pregnant, while we were waiting for our big house to be built, we just said, this isn't happening. We're going to Costa Rica. So January 2021, I took the family to Costa Rica for 4 months and
Nice.
ran business remote, came back. You know, lived a healthy lifestyle there, came back and, you know, on the limo, we had to fly into Buffalo because at that point there was COVID jails. Flew into Buffalo, took a limo home, and on the way back, they locked us down again. And that's when I said to my wife, I said, listen, next winter we're going away, but we're going away somewhere where we can scale business and, you know, go after freedom. So, you know, that's 2021. You know, go back to life. We start drinking again and socializing because we're back on the boat. We're hanging around all the old people, the same people that we were around before. You fall back into the same old habits, right? And that's, you know, but when winter came around, like the one thing, one of my core values is you do what you said you're gonna do. And I'm, you know, when November of 2021 came around, it's like, hey, December's, you know, in a month, we're going to Florida, right? And we literally packed the bags up. We packed our expedition up with all the kids' stuff. We didn't have a place to stay. We didn't know what we were going to do as far as strategy or business or employees. We didn't know one soul in the US, but we just drove down there and, you know, met some people, figured out what other investors are doing, created some relationships, which is super, was super key. And we started buying houses and we literally lived in them like a hobo. Like we were doing the renovations in them. You know, meanwhile, we got this $3 million house we just built. We lived in it for 6 months in Canada. And we left all that and we it's like it was like college. It was like the TV just wasn't on beer cases. That's the only difference. But like we were building furniture as we, you know, as it came in the door, and we would, you know, this is how we live. And you know, but that's what it takes to get to the next level. You need to get uncomfortable. You need to not be, you need to be okay with the imperfection, right? Because that desire for perfection slows us down so much, and it holds us back. And you know, we went, you know, from having this perfect life and this perfect house, and you know, could just perfectly live there forever. But like, there's more to life than that. And we came down and chased it, and it was imperfect. It still isn't perfect. It still is imperfect. Now, but kind of that's how we got down to the US.
I love it. I love it. So talk to me about, I get the drinking part, and personally, you know, I started drinking since I was 14 as well. It's a Canadian thing to do. But in the last 2 years, I've gone through long stretches, not permanent stretches, but long stretches of not drinking. And the difference is amazing. The awkwardness socially is a very real thing. It makes people feel awkward when you're not drinking and you have to like justify it. I really am thankful for all the great companies that are making near beer and a quality one now. I've seen it just over the last couple of years, the products get a lot better because I do like beer. So that's been good. But I kind of view that as like the gateway, like it opens the doors. When you stop drinking, it opened the doors to say, okay, well, what else do I need to actually change the outcomes that I'm trying, that I've been working on for a long time? And I found that fitness, and I'll add a precursor to that, cold plunge and sauna, which is a big part of my life. And I put it into my life about 4 years ago to help me with insomnia, which totally cured that. But like, so the drinking, was that when you said everything changed when you stopped drinking? Was that because outcomes started happening, or did that open the door for you to be able to focus on your fitness again and stuff like that?
Well, like, it was the first time I ever had clarity. I mean, I think we think in our heads that if we don't drink during the week, then we're not alcoholics, and that's fine. We think that we operate perfectly fine for 5 days of the week, and even though we have some drinks 2 days of the week, and that's complete BS. You are foggy your entire life. There is no ifs, ands, or buts. If you drink on the weekend, you're still foggy, and you just don't know. We just don't know. I mean, it's not that it's anybody's fault. It's until you stop, you have no clue. You can't feel your body properly. You know, you don't. So you don't even know what good feels like. And I think when I first did that, that's when I started to actually feel my body. I started to realize what you could feel, what you ate, how it affected your body. You know, you get to feel how the sleep actually affects your body, where before, like, your body is just trying to cope with poisoning 5 days a week, you know, your whole life. And so that was what I got. And then the clarity and the confidence, and you just understand you are able to solve your own problems, right? And you're able to come up with ideas and communicate better. You have courage to do the hard things, I found, at least. I don't know how that relates to the, I think it's just brain fog, dude. But yeah, I started to drink again. That was just my first go around at it. And then, you know, I kind of weaned back into drinking and socializing a lot. You know, that obviously has to do with me. I'll take ownership on that. But it also has a lot to do with who you hang around. But what I did realize was that the fitness was the catalyst to me not drinking. And so when we got to the US, I said, okay, I need to get back into being that person again. And what it was to me was the 75-day hard, or doing that hard physical challenge. And so the next thing I did was signed up for an Ironman 70.3. And the same thing happened. I slowed down on the drinking, almost stopped for the 4 months that I was training. And the same thing happened. I got this courage. We started doing like $30 million self-storage deals and crazy things, right? And then I weaned the alcohol back in again, because I learned that I could train and drink at the same time, right? It's just weird. Like, this is, it took 3-4 times before I actually just realized I just need to stop drinking, period. Yeah. And eventually I did do that. But, you know, it's not like it's just a light switch. You know, you have to almost have to talk yourself into it and make yourself believe that you cannot drink, right? And yeah, almost change your identity.
Yeah, yeah.
That does not happen. That took me two years to do that.
Yeah. No, so like, I'm in the second year of kind of going on and off, and always feel better when I'm not drinking. Allows me to work, my workouts are better, my clarity is clear. But, you know, then things go well for a while, and you'll go on a vacation, or depending on who you're with, and a little pressure. Okay, I'll have one. It's like that scene in that Will Ferrell movie. Like, I'll just have one, right? And yeah, then he's streaking down the street. Oh, yeah. Yeah, right. Yeah. Like, it's
kind that of, would be me 1,000% too.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, you're Frank the Tank. Okay. Yeah. I love it. Yeah, I love it. So okay. So we've got the drinking part. I'm really fascinated with your work ethic around fitness. So for everybody, just as a grounding point, if you can't see how young Brady looks on the screen, you're just listening through iTunes podcast. How old are you?
I'm 39.
So you're 39.
I probably don't look this young in real person, in real life.
you look great. Your makeup artist is killing it. Yeah. So tell us about, like, your transition to working out, because, you know, I talk to a lot of entrepreneurs that are doing well at life, and there's some general themes, you know, sleep, nutrition, you know, exercise is usually at the core of everything. But exercise is like, you know, the typical 30 to 60 minute workout, 6 a.m. on with your day, take the weekend off. And that's what fitness looks like. And then I see you day in and day out, putting your body through so much stress, waking up and seemingly being able to do it again. And I'm curious about what you've discovered that other people don't know is maybe possible. Because I think for a lot of us, we think, you know, I'm in my 40s, so it's like, oh, I can't work out, you know, more than an hour 5 days a week, or I'll get hurt, or I'll get injured, or I'll be too tired. You seem to have just, like, crushed through that thinking. And I'm wondering, was it Was it that easy at the beginning, or did you have to train your way there?
Yeah, I mean, it definitely is baby steps, 100%. I think there's a few things that went on. When I stopped drinking, the recovery. So I quit drinking in March of last year, and that was
Okay.
like a light switch. And then from there on, so prior to that, I did two half Ironmans, and so that's like a 6-hour endurance event. And the training, I mean, it's probably sounds like a lot, but comparable to what I'm doing now, it's absolutely nothing. But it was a lot for me then, and it was still hard. It was like, and it wasn't easy because of, I think, the drinking, the lack of sleep, not eating properly. When I did stop drinking, I was starting to, that was the first time in my life I ever slept good. Like decent, right? And we just don't know how bad the booze is on our sleep. And so that's one big factor, was just caught stopping that. But like I started, after I stopped, it was a year ago in March, I signed up for a 50-mile run, right? The longest I'd ever ran up until that point was a marathon, which was in January last year. And it almost killed me. It was horrible, the marathon. But I trained, I had that new focus. And when you stop socializing, and like at that point when I stopped drinking, I said to myself, if it doesn't add value to my family, my fitness, my relationships, or my business, then I'm not doing it. And so I think that's a lot, well, a big answer to how I can have the energy, the time to not only crush it in fitness, but also in family and business as well, because I'm not lacking time. Right. And I do more than most, but I have the same amount of time. And I believe it's just that I don't watch TV. I wake up early. Use a calendar religiously, and I have a coach for every aspect of my life. And there's no bullshit. There's just like, if it doesn't add value, it's just not happening. Right. Including hanging out just for fun. Right. I do spend a lot of time with like doing masterminds and stuff like that, but when I made that conscious decision, and that was the answer to all my questions. Like if I was going to go and do the travel here or have this meeting or do this podcast, if it doesn't add value to those four things, I'm not doing it. Freed up a lot of time. And so when I started doing training for that 50 miler, that was 3 months, and it was the hardest thing I ever did. And it was in the Keys, 109 degrees Fahrenheit,
Ooh.
and yeah, 50 miles. And it started at like 9:30 in the morning. And it got so hot by mile 12, and still got 38 miles to go. And it was excruciatingly hot. But I figured out that, now looking back on it, the weakest part is for sure the body. And for me at least, it's not my mindset. And once I commit to it, I'm gonna get it done. I ended up crossing the finish line 10 and a half hours later, and we didn't know what place I was in. So we waited around for a little while, kind of made some mistakes, forgot to hydrate, rehydrate and stuff. And I ended up, long story short, in the hospital for rhabdomyolysis and dehydration. They rushed me there in an ambulance. Then they rushed me from there after a whole bunch of, like, they scanned my brain and my heart, and they couldn't figure all of it out, because I thought I was in Canada still. I thought I didn't know the names to my daughters. And that's how
Wow.
I went down the rabbit hole. And they ended up rushing me to Miami. And I eventually came around the next day. That was a 3-day stay. But what that what I, the next thing I like the next thing I was thinking about is, okay, what is next? Because now I know I'm on the path. Right. I know what is my, like, I know that fitness and doing hard things is the thing that's making me great. It is not the money. It is not doing more deals. It's not being a better entrepreneur. Right. It's looking after my body first. Right. And then because I know when I push this through really hard things, that's how I got the mindset. And when I got the mindset, that's when everything else in life got better. My relationships with my wife, my kids, my business partners now. You just show up in the world in such a huge way where it inspires people and motivates people, and it shows people that you are willing to put in the work and you will never quit. And when when you could do that by doing things for yourself, like your life is going to change. It's inevitable. And that was honestly the moment where I'm like, holy, I've got something here, right? That maybe most don't. And I at least found it out for myself. And I didn't only find it out for myself, I figured it out for my family. Because a lot of the pains and struggles that I feel like I went through was because I was a product of my environment.
Yeah.
And, you know, I can change the environment for my kids forever now, right? I can change the environment for my wife, for everybody that touches me, right? I'm never going to give them the permission to do the stuff that held me back, which is, you know, wasting time, drinking, you know, doing stupid stuff and really wasting time, right? And then I could also load them up with the armor of doing hard things and giving them the support and giving them the guidance and trust that they can do it. Because once they believe they can do it, they're good for life too.
I love it. I love it. So I'm just trying to think of what our listeners want. Because, you know, you know the moment where you get this really good advice from somebody, or you hear something and you're like, okay, I'm going to go put it in action. But there's like one little element that's missing and it's kind of tripping you up a bit. And you were like, oh, if I could only ask that question. So that's where my head's at right now. Talk to me about, you know, the challenges around relationships and friendships when you made this transition, because, you know, I see you doing a lot of your training by yourself.
Yeah.
Right. Which is not easy. And yeah. I don't know if you would prefer to have someone that wants to go, you know, bike for 4 hours, you know, as your neighbor and then not drink while having a nice dinner with your families. I don't know if you have that or you don't, but I do know that when you completely change yourself, you know, you have all these relationships that are essentially important to you at the time, but now that you've put them into an area of friction in your life.
Yeah, no, that's a really great question, man. And I appreciate it because, yeah, it gives me the opportunity to be a bit vulnerable because, yeah, there has been, I mean, it through this transition, and you mentioned it before, like when I made the connection to drinking and to making that switch and focusing on my body, because I knew the body was the got to the mindset, got to be everything else being better. You know, drinking was a big part of that, but in the relationships that are held together from socializing and drinking, those people don't like to hear this stuff, right? Like they're going to ultimately, you know, it makes them uncomfortable, right?
Yeah.
And then it makes them also question what they're doing, and nobody really wants to do that. And so I saw the friction happening when I started doing the 75 day hard, and there was a lot of drama, and I lost a couple friends that I thought were friends, and I saw it, but I saw what was going on. I knew what was going to happen when I went off this side, but I didn't care, I guess. I think I realized that not only is it a me problem, but it is a who you surround yourself with problem. It is the reality of this scenario. Like, You know, the old saying that we are the average of the five people you surround yourself with. It is probably one of the most important things that we need to seriously consider for ourselves, you know, our kids. You know, like if you want to change your life, get around five savages that are doing exactly what you want to do. There's, even if you suck at it, you are going to get to probably be great at it, you know? I found new friends is what I found. And, I still have some acquaintances and friends, but, you know, from that original, from my old life, I would say. But like what happened was when I came to the US, I got into masterminds. I found that some of the most successful people all look after their body, and most of them drank just like I did, and most of them quit. And it's not by chance. It's not by chance. It's because the way you do one thing is the way you do everything, including drinking, including having fun, including socializing. And if you've got that energy and you're that person that, like, you're going to do it in business or you're going to do it in fun. And these people, it's a pattern. I mean, I wouldn't say everybody, but I would say like 8 out of 10 people that I'm talking about is that way. So it is a bit lonely, but I understand why I'm doing it, and it's for my family and for my fitness, my relationships, and my business. So yes, running for 6 hours straight is can be kind of boring sometimes. Biking, it's a lot more fun when you're with somebody. But the reality is 99.9% of the world is not willing to do what I'm willing to do.
Yeah,
And
very fair.
I take pride in that.
Yeah, why don't you tell everybody your last physical challenge that was just in the last couple of weeks, I think.
Yeah, it was 2 weeks ago. And the reason that I got inspired to do ultra distances was because of my friend Jesse Itzler. So 2 years ago, I saw Jesse Itzler. Do you know who Jesse is?
Yeah, and I can definitely see that. So Jesse inspires me on a daily basis. And I can see the connection for sure, and I think that's awesome because he's able to live a billionaire lifestyle, and he's still in his 50s, is pushing himself to do some really, really hard things, and I think I'm very impressed by him.
Yeah. And I always thought Jesse was he's a great entrepreneur. He sold a couple of companies for hundreds of millions. His wife is, sold her company for a billion. So they're obviously a successful entrepreneur. But when I watched Jesse do Ultraman 2 years ago, this guy ran swam 6.4 miles. So that's 10 kilometers, biked 280 miles, which is like 360 kilometers. I don't really know. And then ran 52 miles, a double ultra, like a double marathon. And I'm like, what the heck is going on? I'm like, there's so much, I realize there's so much more to this person than just the entrepreneurial person that's motivating, inspiring. There's obviously a connection, I believed in my head at least, that there was a connection between him being able to do these extremely hard things physically and his success. I
Yeah.
didn't know that, but I just believed it. I'm like, there's gotta be something. I'm like, oh my gosh, I got to get close to Jesse. I didn't know Jesse at the time. And so I got super intentional, and that word is super important to me. Is like I got intentional. I'm like, I told my wife, I'm going to become friends with Jesse. And so there was an opportunity to do that. I got close to him. And then when I got close to him, I was able to figure out who his coach was, his fitness coach was. And when I hired his fitness coach, right? And so his fitness coach, Chris Hoth, is now my coach. So Chris got me through the 50 miler, the 100 miler. I did a 100 mile ultra marathon, 22 hours. We raised $100,000 for charity as well for that run. But I had my feet up, I literally just finished crossed the finish line an hour ago. And Coach Chris says to Brady, he's like, says to Brady, says to me, he said, Brady, okay, so he's like, I cannot believe I'm going to ask you this, but what is next? And I said, you know what? I said, Chris, I think we should do Ultraman. And so Ultraman is exactly what Jesse did because Jesse inspired me to get into all this, right? And
Yeah.
he showed me the path. And again, once I know it's possible, I'll believe in myself. I take massive action. I can get it done. And it's true for everybody listening, right? You just need to know it's possible. And so Chris is like, okay, well, let's talk about that in a month. Well, a month came around. I did some research into it, and it turns out I can't do it. Because to do Ultraman, you have to have done a full distance Ironman, which I've never done.
Okay.
So I'm like, ah. Oh. But you know what? It was like 2 weeks later, my wife says to me, Brady, I don't, like, when have you ever taken no for an answer? I'm like, well, that's a really good question. That's a good point, too. So I went back on there and I filled out the application. I applied for Ultraman. Within like 3 days, they accepted me.
Oh, okay. That's
Right?
awesome.
I'm like, oh my gosh. So here we go. So I tell Co Coach Chris, hey, super exciting. Got into Ultraman. He's like, well, that's good and bad. And I'm like, what do you mean? He's got such a, funny personality when he's texting. And he's like, well, it's good that you got in, bad that we got to somehow turn you into a cyclist in 3 months. So I had 3 months of training and, and this training is insane. I hate swimming and I hate biking. And that is part of the reason why I wanted to do.
I've seen you do so much of that in the last few months.
Oh, dude, I hate it with a passion. Like, talk about like you wish you had friends biking. Yes, it is the most boring thing to me ever because it's not overly hard like running where it takes a lot of bandwidth and mental. Like, you have to be in it. Like, you can't be distracted too much. Where biking is kind of like, oh yeah, just another 6 hours to go here.
Yeah,
Like,
especially zone two biking, which
oh,
I'm sure you did a lot of.
100%, dude. Yeah, you know exactly what I'm talking about. And
Yeah.
Anyway, lots of training. So yeah, I ended up doing that. We could go into that, but it was insane. So 6.2 mile swim, 3 hours, 28 minutes. Next thing, we had to do 90 miles on the bike ride. Short note, like we had a flat tire, which you have to have a full crew on this thing. So your crew is hopscotching you, and you're doing that, and there's hills and elevation, lots of elevation and wind. Oh my gosh. And so we had a flat tire. The crew was nowhere to be sound found. I didn't have my phone, so it ended up taking them like 40 minutes to find me and to get it fixed. So, and then at that point, a bunch of people passed. And then it went to like 42 degrees, dude, and it poured rain, like cats and dogs. And it was freezing cold. And so there was like, I remember at one point, I was closer to the end, it was like shivering so bad, like you couldn't hold the steering wheel. And so you actually had to go into aero position to drive the bike, even going slow, because you're literally, hypothermic. And ended up, day one was fine. Day two, it was a 170 mile bike ride. So that took another 10 and a half hours. Day one was 10 and a half hours. Day two, 10 and a half hours. A lot of elevation in that one. There was one hill that was 8 miles long. Had another flat. I had a bunch of people pass me. But what I noticed was on day one and day two, when things got hard, day one, it was super cold. It was freezing cold. People were like getting in their vehicles. They were slowing down. It was raining, cats and dogs, dude. Like there was like spots where it was 4 or 5 inches of water in the road. You're trying to bike through this crap. 10 mile an hour wind headwinds. Nasty. And when it got hard, as you could see, even at this level, like you can rely on your competitor's mediocrity. Even at that level, dude,
Wow.
like when it gets hard, you push harder, right? Like that is when everybody's going to soften up, right? Like in today's market, I don't, today, like in the world that we're living in right now, these last couple of years have been harder, people. Like cost of living is high. Like that's when you push harder, and when I did that, we passed everybody that ever passed me, plus a couple more. That happened day one. That happened on day two. And day three was a 52-mile run. Now, in between day two and day three, we realized I had a thing called SIPE, because my lungs were, I don't know if anybody's ever heard somebody that has pneumonia, but like when you breathe, it's like gargly, like,
Yeah.
right? And so I had that after day two, and it was swimmer-induced pulmonary embolism, I think it's called. Essentially, you're drowning in your own fluid. And so my lungs were, I don't know, half full. It's hard to tell, but like they were pretty full. Breathing wasn't great. My oxygen level at that point, we had a tester. It was okay. I mean, it was staying high when I wasn't exercising. It was fine. And so day three was this run. And it's just a little 52-mile run that's going to take 10 another, 10 hours or whatever, 10 to 12 hours. And I started that run. We started that run at 6:30 in the morning, and it was nice and cool. My heart rate should have stayed pretty low, but it went pretty high pretty quick. And I'm just like, okay, well, it's just the body. It's going to settle in. A few miles, it should just settle down. And it didn't really. And I got to this point. I was about 12 miles in, and I was running up to this guy, and he's kind of hunched over. He's kind of like hunched over, holding onto his knees, and he's a competitor in the race. And I'm thinking, okay, he's got like IT band issues or some sort of strenuous leg issues. So I stopped at him. I said, dude, are you all right? I can get you a roller from my crew and roll them out for you to get this thing loosened up. He's like, no, I can't breathe. And so I said, okay. So I kept on running. I got one of my crew was a Navy SEAL, retired Navy SEAL, one of the most dangerous people on earth, but also he had this oxygen tester. So I said, Chris, you need to go back and see that guy. He's not doing good. So he tested him, caught back up to me, and he tells me, he's like, yeah. And I saw at this point, it was probably like 20 minutes after, I saw a police go by with lights on. Shortly after that was an ambulance. And so
Wow.
Chris said his oxygen level was down to 70. He's like, yeah, we called the ambulance. Like that guy's not doing good. So about the same time, like I'm starting to think, like my heart's really still running. We're into like mile 13, 14-ish now, and my heart rate is going up into 150 range and 160 range. And I start to do a run walk. Normally, that run walk, I'll do a 4 minute run, 1 minute walk. And now what that'll do is allow my, usually I have to do it because of pain management. But this time I was like, hey, what? I need to get my heart rate down. This is not sustainable. I need to get this under control. But it kept on going up. It went up to 180, and I was starting I was breathing like very shallow, short breaths. And I'm starting to get dizzy. And we're trying, the run walking isn't working. We're trying to get different electrolytes in. We're trying to get different calories in, and nothing's working. And so Chris, the SEAL, comes and tests my oxygen, and you could see he's putting it on all of my different fingers. Like, this is taking like a few minutes, and he's like, you could tell something's not right. I'm like, what is it? And he says, "You dude, you're at like 70% oxygen right now." And he's like, "Don't worry though. We're gonna fix this, and we're gonna get you through this." And at this point, I'm like, I don't really know what's happening. Like, I know what's happening, but I saw the ambulance going by, and like, I had thoughts that I'd never had before. I'm like, am I gonna be okay if I die here? Like, am I gonna die here? Like, I'm like, if this goes, at what point am I just gonna pass out? And am I next? And he said he came back to me, and he brought these freezies and just jammed a bunch of sucralose down my throat, and a few gels and a bottle of Ensure. And it was just like the blood sugar came back up, right? I kept running. I didn't stop. I kept on run walking the whole time. And the blood sugar came back up over the next like 10, 15 minutes. And the heart rate started to settle down. Within like a half hour, I was like, I'm back. It was like, oh my gosh, I still got 38 miles or 36 miles to go, or maybe at that point 34. But it was unbelievable, dude. And I ended up, I finished that in another 10 hours, and I don't know, I can't even remember the time. I think it was 10 hours and 15 minutes. And then we had a lot of problem, like a lot of challenges. At the end of the race, it was a big, massive monster hill. It was hilly and a lot of rain and stuff. And again, when things got hard, all those people that passed me when I was having my health problems, I passed all them, and I passed, a few more, at the end of the race. And I mean, at the end of the day, we finished it, and it was the hardest thing I'd ever done. 3 days.
Wow. So far, that's amazing. Wow.
Yeah, so far.
So we got to create an entry point for all the listeners, because they're hearing, okay, Brady's, almost 40. Look what he's doing. He mentioned Jesse Itzler, and anybody that didn't know him, they've already, you've already listened, you've looked him up on Instagram, for to all the listeners while you're listening to this. So you know all about Jesse, in the last 10, 5, 10 minutes. How does somebody start? How does somebody go from, I work out, 3 to 5 hours a week, it's just like part of the routine, it's not too strenuous, but it keeps me in like reasonable health. Somebody that says, you know what, screw it, I want to see what I want to see what my body can really do. What do you suggest is like what's the first 60 days? Let's map that out for them.
I mean, I think a couple of things you do. Well, number one is you need to do something you're scared of, something that you actually have a risk of failing on. And I think so. I think you have to have something on the calendar. No, I know that, right? Like, I think that you have to have something that you're striving for. So, if you don't have a great base, so it could be a race. I mean, whether it's a run or paddling from here to Bahamas, like, we're doing rim to rim to rim, which is like through the Grand Canyon and back. It doesn't have to be that long. It could be just through the Grand Canyon, which is still 20, 28-mile thing. Or it could be a 5K, or it could be a 10K, but put it on the calendar. Put it on a calendar and have something to work for. It could be in a month, right? It could be in 2 weeks. So if you say, for example, you're not a runner, and in 2 weeks you're going to run a 5K, no problem. Anybody can do that. Anybody. Because if not, you can walk it. It's not a big deal. But at least you did it. And it's like, okay, I always ask my question, what is next? And so within a month, I will always have that next hard thing on the calendar, right? And so the thing about doing that is, by doing something hard, you are gonna all of a sudden you're gonna, and you complete it, you're gonna unlock that you're that is now not gonna be considered hard, and you're gonna unlock some new potential. Right. So that's critical. So that's what I think, is just putting something on the calendar. I mean, if you're not that focused on fitness yet, but you want to be, and you want to say, okay, what is the first step to becoming, getting on this path that maybe I'm currently on, or a version of it? Well, then I think the 0 to 100-day challenge is the best thing to do, right? Because
Awesome.
that's going to get you dialed in. on your fitness, on your health, on your eating, and make sure you're not drinking, and make sure you're getting enough sleep, and making sure you're scheduling your next day and your future days, right? That is a pretty darn hard thing that most people won't do. And thing about doing hard things like this on purpose, on a calendar, on a timeline, is that when you do it, you are gonna become extremely proud of yourself, right? And you can measure yourself backwards and feel really great about that because you've actually done something that most people won't do, right? So I don't care whether it's 5K or going to the gym for 100 days straight, right? Or doing a 100-day challenge. 99% of this earth will not do that, right? But it will change your life.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I recently had a guest and they brought up a piece of research, and they said that there's a piece of research that was done that if someone spends 18 minutes a day at something, it could be running, it could be lifting weights, it could be playing piano, learning a new language, 18 minutes a day, every day for 1 year, they will be in the 4% of the best at that thing in the planet. Now the caveat was that, like, if you want to be an MMA fighter, it's like the top 1% of the world that gets paid to do it. But being in the top 4% is still pretty amazing,
Pretty
right?
amazing.
So, before we're done here, this has been an amazing conversation. I do want you to walk everybody through the 0 to 100 challenge, because it would be pretty cool if people listening to this episode went to the website and signed up and crushed it for 100 days. So walk everybody through, where do you go to sign up and what do you do for 100 days?
Sure, Ben. You go to www.0to100.com. It's completely free. And so, when I would speak and go on podcasts, I would tell a story. And I like if I go and speak in front of 100 people, 25% of those people, so 25 people would start the 75-day hard because you'll see my before and after, and you'll see what happened as a result of getting the mindset right. Right? Because these things are, they have physical fitness benefits, but it's really training your mindset and getting your mind in the right place because that's when everything changes, right? And so but the problem with that was that within that first week, 75% of those people that actually start, or maybe even higher, maybe 85, they quit or they fail because it's just almost unrealistic to most people because it's so hardcore, right? And so that's where I'm like, okay, but the principles and the habits that are created out of that are the principles that every single human on earth need to really live a fulfilling life, in my opinion, and to look after their health and fitness and to be the leader to everybody else that they want to be. And so I said, okay, what do we need to do for sure to get these habits? And so number one is 45-minute workout per day for 100 days straight. Okay. But we understand that, we have families, businesses, lots of things come up. If you're traveling, it could be very challenging, right? And so 2 days every seven in a 7 day period on this challenge, 2 days of the week, you can actually miss your workout and you can double up those workouts on another day. So you would do, if you couldn't get it in on Sunday, you just do two on Monday or two on Tuesday and you get your seven workouts in a week. Okay, so that's number one, pretty straightforward 45-minute workouts.
I like the
Number two,
flexibility, though. I like that.
dude, I've had to use it. I had to use it once already, and I'm on a day eight of the challenge. I just started it because.
Okay, so Brady, you're back. You had a little technical difficulty. This technology is amazing. You're in Florida, I'm in Canada. We're able to have this amazing conversation. But your computer let you down, and now you're back. And when you kind of left the show, you were talking about the 0 to 100 challenge. You just walked through the first element, which is the 45 minutes a day working out. And you had said that it's seven workouts. And if you need to skip a day because you believe that the program needs flexibility, that you can just double up on another day. And you said you're on day eight right now and recently had to do the same. And then you disappeared from the show. So let's take it from there.
Yeah, that's great. Thanks, Ben. And I've had to use that. I mean, I think, we still have to make sure that we're getting all the workouts in, for those 100 days, but we're going to give some flexibility there. So the second component after the workouts is that we need to eat healthy. So what does that mean? It means no junk food, no fast food, home cooked meals. And for me, it's counting macros. So making sure I get enough protein and carbohydrates and fats and all these different components. And, you know, so, and it doesn't have to be home cooked meals. I mean, you can still eat at a restaurant healthy, right? But yeah, so that's what that is. And then the third one is no drinking, right? So no alcohol. And
Yep.
last but not least is preparing for the following day. Okay. So what that means is using your calendar to schedule your workouts, block time in it, be intentional, right? Think about and plan your meals on the next day, making sure that you get enough sleep and prepare to have your gym equipment, your clothes and your shoes and all that kind of stuff ready. So it's seriously, you've got to check the box on, am I prepared for the next day? You know, am I getting my sleep? Do I have my workout scheduled, et cetera? So
Yeah,
those are
because
the
that's where the failure point comes in, right? Where you wake up the next day, you get busy, and you're like supposed to work out or supposed to eat, and like you got to do it now, but like the best choice is not prepared, so you just make a bad choice.
100%. You just,
Yeah.
yeah, the preparation is key here, right? Like, so that is what is making people, giving everybody the real habits to be, you know, for this to be a sustainable lifestyle versus just a challenge.
Yeah, so I love that you took the elements of the 75 hard that I think are the one pieces that people really want, and got rid of the extras. Like I've talked to a couple people that have said like I really want to get super fit, but like I got to read every day, and you know I'm kind of a YouTube learner. So yeah, I like that you pulled that out and gave some flexibility in there as well. So yeah, that's pretty cool. But there's a last component that I think is crucial to people having success over the whole 100 days. And why don't you talk a little bit about what happens on Wednesdays?
Yeah, so we have a calendar actually built in. So we, you know, like we actually have a checklist so you can track it. That is number the one of the ways that we have an accountability, you know, program. But then on, yeah, on Wednesdays we have an accountability huddle. So at 12 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for 30 minutes, we get on. Everybody who wants to participate in that hops on, and we talk about, you know, the wins. You know, what is a win or two of the week from everybody? And we talk about, you know, and then we just support them. You know, one guy was saying, hey, I'm like 25 days into this and I lost 10 pounds, but I seem like I'm plateauing, you know. And so somebody in the group is actually a fitness instructor and he's been a fitness coach and he's doing the 100-day challenge, which is super cool. But I knew that and I'm just like, Kevin, do you mind, you know, enlightening us on why that is? And he talked about, you know, the body actually gets comfortable and gets used to it, and it'll actually start to go into hibernation mode, and we need to, you know, mix things up. So the group is there to be accountable, like to support each other, and that's what Wednesdays are for, is just to show face. We also have an app, right? So we, instead of being on social media and Facebook and Instagram and stuff like that, to add to the distractions of life, we have a separate app. Where, you know, we can post and ask questions and communicate as a group as well.
Yeah, I love that. I love that. And you'll see me on next Wednesday's call because, as I said, I just signed up. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, I look forward to having you in there, Ben.
I stayed away from the 75 hard because I was at the time I was already doing the elements. I wasn't drinking. I was working out every single day. I was getting really good sleep, and I was like, okay, this is enough. And I'm like, felt like I was really winning. I had a couple of friends that were doing 75 hard, and those extra elements didn't appeal to me, so I decided not to do it because if things were going well. But you know, that was a year ago. No, that was two. Maybe 2 years ago? Was it around 2 years ago?
What's that?
The 75 hard?
Well, I mean, people can start at any time they want.
Yep. But did
And
it exist 2 years ago? I'm trying to
yeah,
figure out.
yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So it was
Yeah.
about 2 years ago. And
Yeah.
then just in the last like few months, I've been falling into some of my old habits of, good food and sugar and craft
Yeah.
beer. So when I saw your challenge, I thought, and we booked this talk, I said, okay. This is a perfect catalyst. And like honestly, like I don't know if this certainly isn't advice, because my first thought about the Wednesdays, I was like, oh yeah, it's free. Maybe I'll go. I don't know. I won't put it in my calendar yet. And then I'm like, wait, this is the sort of thing that I look for that I pay for.
Yeah, I do.
Because it's free doesn't mean it's not super valuable. So I put it in my calendar as reoccurring starting next week. But it threw me off for a second because I realized like, oh, I pay for stuff like this. But it's this is a gift. I don't even know why you're doing it. Maybe you can enlighten everybody why you're doing it because it's free and it's really good.
Yeah, I'm. You know what? I've done a lot of online coaching and like one-on-one coaching, high ticket, $30,000. You know, and like to me, this is like that making money and stuff. I make enough money for now. And so what has changed my life? I'm trying to give the gift to other people to change theirs. And there's just something that's really filling my cup about really helping people and giving right now. So that's why, like my goal, like we're not going to be charging. I mean, you can buy the hats and the 0 to 100 gear and stuff like that. That's coming in the next week or so. But besides that, I just want to help change lives, dude. And you would not believe, like I get a message probably once every, maybe every day, for sure every 2 days, that like I'm inspiring them and they're starting it or they're thinking about it or they quit drinking or how do you quit drinking or how do you do this? And I'm like, this is making impact. And to me, that's why I'm doing it. I just want to help people like get on the path that I'm on.
Yeah. Well, you know, we're certainly aligned there. So like my family, we really got into sauna and cold plunge in the last few years, mainly for my health. And it's been the biggest cheat code, as I would call it, that I've ever experienced, even for me beyond working out. And I've always been an athlete, but just it solved my sleep. And when I solved my sleep, there's so much positivity and good things came with it, which was really great. And I started making better, bigger, bolder decisions more easily. So, you know, 2 years ago, we started doing, you know, you'll appreciate this in Canada. There's these amazing patio locations that are covered in snow all winter. So we started running an experiment of, can we give this gift to others and make sauna and cold plunge accessible? Because it's a very expensive habit to put into your backyard. So we started putting up pop-ups where people can go and sauna and cold plunge and they get guided through a triple cycle of hot and cold. And we've got this amazing staff and people will say like, in comparison to everything you're doing, it's such a small opportunity. And I totally align with you where I'm like, yeah, but like I want to live in a healthy community. So like when I want to go for a run, people are running. When I want to go for a sauna, people are doing saunas. When I want to go for a paddle, people are paddling. Like, that's what I want. I want health food stores to not open and close every 3 years. I want them to thrive and have to build more locations. So we did this and it's like, it's honestly my most favorite business I've ever had. We actually just got mentioned on Breakfast Television in Toronto, which is a reference that you'll know because they're running this Eclipse Challenge because we've got the Eclipse here in Kingston on Monday and it's going to be a big deal. And this weekend, if you stay in the cold plunge for 3 minutes and 10 seconds, we give you free glasses to watch the eclipse on Monday. So Breakfast Television mentioned us this morning and this company makes me like, it doesn't take a lot of my time, but the money part, it's like almost nothing. In comparison to other stuff I'm working on, but it's just feeding my soul on helping people get healthier in ways that they either definitely didn't know that would be helpful or don't have access to it because it is an expensive thing to have. I totally align with you there, which I think is pretty awesome. And to say thank you for being on this call, I will definitely order some swag when it's available for 0 to 100, more than I will just wear. And I will try to put your hat on some heads of friends that need it.
Awesome. I appreciate that, Ben. This has been a great, great experience and great time chatting with you, dude.
Well, hopefully this will not be the last time. And hopefully we can see each other, you know, in Northern Ontario and
ice bath in the lake. You get a sauna on the dock.
Yes.
We need to do that.
Yeah. The lake might be a little warm then, but I've got some ways to chill it up. That's for sure. Okay. We'll figure something out. I promise you that. Yeah. Awesome. So thanks so much for coming. You know, this is one of those conversations where like we've exceeded my normal time and I'm not done. So I can imagine I'm going to hit you up again down the road once you've done a few more huge challenges just to bend the minds of our listeners of what's possible. And then you'll officially maybe be in your 40s, which is even more interesting to me. I really appreciate you joining us today. It was a great conversation.
Yeah, absolutely. Ben, thanks a lot to you and all your listeners. Appreciate you, man.
Awesome. Thanks.
Thank you for not only joining us today on the Core Health Collective show, but also thank you for being an entrepreneur looking to make the world a better place.